Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another episode of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, January 13th of 2020. January 13th? Whoa. We're getting close to halfway through the first month of 2020. Come Wednesday night, Thursday morning, we will have made it halfway through the first month of this year. This is when you realize that, my, oh my, does time fly. Really does. I'm believing that it's a great start to the year for you. I'm hoping that you're taking time to fast and pray. And that you're just believing God that 2020 will be a year of plenty for you. I pray that God's using you as you go about your daily endeavors in life, as you're going to work and school, and everything you put your hand to prospers. And I'm just believing God for the blessing of the Lord upon your life, as 2020 is to be a year of plenty for those who follow God. However, it'll be a year of plenty of trouble for those who choose not to follow God and choose to live an alternative lifestyle. I don't know why it's called alternative lifestyle. I think it should be called the sinful lifestyle, because in my mind that's what it is when you choose not to live for God. You're living a sinful lifestyle. But I'm believing God that God is blessing you as you're putting your hand to things, and that you are just flourishing. Amen. I want to give you an update on something. Our friend Bonnie Patricevic got a promotion into heaven. And tomorrow at Living Word Church is a memorial service. We're going to celebrate her going into heaven. Now the world, they take 3, 4, 5 days and sit there and moan and groan. Christians, on the other hand, we don't sit there and be like, oh, we're happy she's gone. But we do thank God that she got promoted to heaven, where we will be very soon, as Jesus is going to come. Now, of course, we don't know the day or the hour that it's going to come, that he's going to come. We don't. He never told us. He also said, you will not know the day or the hour in which I will come. But tomorrow, at Living Word Church, 11:30 the service, 10:30 is visitation. Luncheon is by invitation only. So feel free to come on out and give your condolences. As I have a lot of great memories of Bonnie. She always had a way to put a smile on my face, always. She always had wisdom to give. She knew how to make you laugh. I can think of one time she came to pick me up from high school after semester exams 1 year. I believe it was my third year, my junior year. She comes and picks me up. She says, she's like, "Well, Rivy, you want a snack?" I'm like, "Yeah, we can go get some lunch." And so we go to Speedway and gets me a corn dog and a soda. She proceeds to inform me that all the soda, called a Coca-Cola everywhere, has been exchanged for Pepsi, stating that Pepsi is much cheaper from the fountain, and that everyone in Midland and Michigan has decided to flip their contracts over. And then me and her were playing with it for like 10 minutes. And I just keep going with it and then she goes, which in other words means not true, as I could tell that the soda that I had been drinking, because we were sitting there going back and forth, and I'm sitting there in her car, by that point we're to our house, and I had eaten my corn dog, I'm drinking the soda, and she informs me that it was a fib, and that it was Coke after all, as I kind of figured out it was. Now, it was a fountain Coke, so it wasn't like the bottled Coke where I already know where it is, what it is. Unless, for all I know, though, someone could have switched the bottle. I mean, switched the contents of the bottle, you know? They could have. Take a Pepsi and a Coke, pour all the Pepsi out of the Pepsi bottle, pour it in the Coke bottle, find a way to seal it back shut, put it on the store shelf in the cooler at Speedway or whatever. you know, who knows? Maybe it could have went to that point. You guys don't know. But there's so many different memories, listeners, I could give you about Bonnie and how gracious she was, but I felt a little like a comedian. So I tried to think, what's one of the funniest things you can think of that Bonnie did? And for me, that's kind of high up there because she had me going. And those of you who know me know that other than Mountain Dew, as far as Pepsi, regular Pepsi, Diet Pepsi, Wild Cherry Pepsi, I do not like Pepsi that well. I don't like the taste of it. It kind of tasted like bad medicine. You say, "Why do you feel that way, Miracle Man?" Well, one day, I'm out on an outing from school, my middle school, with mobility instructor. And he wanted to take me somewhere and kind of show me the layout of a certain store. So we, or whatever, or forget what we were doing. But I'm in there. We're in there. I see a cooler. Of course, this is middle school, so you got whatever pocket change you can find. And so I'm in there, go to the cooler. He tells me what's in there. And I go, okay, I'll have a Pepsi. So I get the Pepsi out, go up there to pay for it. And then I don't drink it until I get back to the school, because once I get back to school, it's time for lunch. I go to lunch, sit down to eat my meal, and drink my soda. And I noticed something. It tastes kind of different, kind of funny. And I'm like, why does it taste kind of funny? And I told myself, it kind of tastes like some kind of somewhat bitter medicine. Needless to say, I only drank like half of it, threw the bottle away. I haven't drank much Pepsi at all since, other than Mountain Dew and what have you. Because back in those days, I was one of those. I like to drink soda, but at that point, I hadn't found quite what I would call a soda identity. When I was little, I kind of had it. It was Sprite. By soda identity, I mean like the one that kind of identifies with you the most, the one that you like to drink the most. And when I was little, it was Sprite, like I imagine a lot of kids whose parents maybe don't want them to have caffeine. And when I was little, it was Sprite, but when I was a teenager, I decided, can't see why some caffeine can't hurt. And by that point, it had felt to me like I had started to prefer Coke, but I didn't know yet if it was still my favorite. Because I still like root beer and vanilla-flavored sodas, like cream soda. And we can't forget about vanilla Coke, which is still possibly my favorite, which is still my favorite flavor of soda, is vanilla Coke. Yes, it is. But the thing is, not only did I discover that I didn't really like Pepsi that much, at least when it comes to soda, I kind of found my identity. I kind of found that niche. Like, that favorite soda to drink, you know? And nope, Diet Pop isn't that good. It's not that good. I liked it for like 3 days when I was in late elementary school, or maybe really early middle school, like 3 days. After that, though, I was back to drinking regular pop. Generally, preferably, Coke and Sprite. Some Mountain Dew and other things, but now, Coca-Cola. And by the way, listeners, Caitlin, did you see this or not? They're coming out with Coca-Cola flavored Tic Tacs.
Really?
Coming out later this month.
I did not hear that.
I think it's pretty neat. I hope they're just going to have them like when you're in line at the supermarket at Kroger.
Oh, sure they will.
Like at Kroger or Meijer or the gas station.
You want to try some?
When they get them, yeah. I am when they get them. Because my hope is that, like, all the big stores will get them.
Yeah.
Even, like, Target, I would hope. But because usually they're kind of minty-ish. I wonder if these will taste kind of carbonated-like. Like, maybe the mint taste is switched out with for a more carbonated taste, maybe. So that way it's still something that's still kind of strong. Like that nice strong combination. Like when you open up the bottle and you're taking that first fresh sip of that icy cold Coke. Yeah. Crispy, fresh, fizzy. Or that cup from McDonald's and you take the first swig of that right after it comes out the lid and you take that first drink. You know, listeners, that's how the word of God is. You just take a drink. You know, and you just study the word. And when you get in the word, you dig into God's word. You're like, yes, this is where it's at. You know, listeners, that's how it is when you're taking those first couple swigs of that Coke or the first couple bites of whatever tasty thing you're eating that satisfies your taste buds at the moment of time. And for a lot of people, it's different. Some of you, it's cheesecake. I tell you, I could go for some really good cheesecake. I could. Or cheesecake donut. Woo! I tell you, if I'm at that luncheon tomorrow, there better be cheesecake there. Because I want some. And cheesecake is just so delicious. Do you like cheesecake? Do you really like cheesecake?
I do. I don't eat it often, but I do.
I don't either, because to me that's supposed to be something special, but that doesn't mean it's any less good.
Yeah.
I've found peanut butter candy bars all over the place. I've never found a cheesecake candy bar. Have you?
No.
Somebody needs to invent one so I can buy some stock in it. Hey, Reese's, are you listening? Will you invent me a cheesecake peanut butter bar? Because I'll gladly buy the stock if you make it. But like I said, though, Bonnie, she was just a great woman of the faith. And Mike, her husband, Mr. P, he's such a champion. Dr. Buckley said yesterday morning, he should just go up there and teach a class so everybody can learn about how he's been able to do it. I mean, he was married to her for 51 years. They met each other, Mike and Bonnie did, when they were little kids in school down in Marion Springs, which is about 10 miles or so south of Merrill, neat little town. I've been there several a time with Bonnie as well as one of her sisters. She has many sisters, by the way, and brothers. They're such a loving family, and I can't. And even though we'll miss her here on the earth, we know that Bonnie is in a better place. She can't suffer anymore. All the pain and tears are gone, and she's rejoicing with her Maker. Amen. Amen. Because I received the notification after I did the show Wednesday night. That's why I didn't say anything to you listeners about it on Wednesday. But now I know, and I'm going to be there tomorrow. Now, I want to encourage you to please tell people you know how they can be a part of the show. You can inform listeners that they're welcome to call in. So are you, listeners. You're welcome to call in and talk to me about generally anything you wish to talk about. If it's political, however, though, I'm going to tell you to please pray for your leaders who have authority over you. I'm not going to take my radio show's listeners and turn it into a political soapbox. I'm not going to do that. I will, from time to time, talk about voting biblically and things of that nature, but I'm not going to take the time to give you all the seesaws and all the latest polls of Sanders did this, Biden did that, Trump, me. Nope. Because I don't think that breeds life. I choose not to talk about it on the show, even though I will be paying attention. I will admit, last campaign, it was really fascinating because last time we were in this scenario, we had a president who couldn't run again. So all that did was make it all the more fascinating. Remember? This time, I don't think there's quite the same level of fascination because you don't have different people running on both sides. You know what I mean? When you're different people on both sides, I think that like causes even more fascination. Don't you think? And it makes it like more. But as I said, I'm not going to take the time and delve into all that craziness. But generally, we talk more about the Bible and about sports and about other stuff that's going on that's not exactly political. And the number to call in if you want to talk to me is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts, and when you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. Go ahead and press 1. You'll be taken to a call screener. My assistant will let me know that we have a caller, and then we will go from there. Praise God. Now, I want to sing your song. I'm not sure I've sang it on the show or not. If I have, it was back near the beginning. It's called I Have a Friend. I have a friend. His name is Jesus. Jesus. I have a friend. His name is Jesus. Jesus. He's the shepherd that I lean on. He's my shelter from every storm. I have a friend. His name is Jesus. I have a friend. His name is Jesus. Jesus. I have a friend. His name is Jesus. Jesus. He's the shepherd that I lean on. He's my shepherd from every storm. I have a friend. His name is Jesus. Show me your ways that I may walk with you. Show me your ways. I put my hope in you. The cry of my heart is to love you more. Live with the touch of your hand, stronger each day. Show me your way. Show me your way, that I may walk with you. Show me your way. I put my hope in you. The cry of my heart is to love you, Lord, to live with the touch of your hand, stronger each day. Show me your ways. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you show us your ways tonight as we study your words. Your word, as we delve into your great word tonight, so that we can learn to live more like you, and more, be more and more and more and more like you as we go about our lives. And I thank you, Lord God, that you meet the needs of every one of these listeners who's listening tonight. And you're the one who knows what the needs are, even when I don't. And I just give you praise and honor and glory for that. And Heavenly Father, I thank you. I make my confession over the show. I say that finances are coming into this program, that sponsors and partners are coming into this program, that major increases in listenership are coming into this program, and most important of all, I thank you for souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of the Miracle Man show. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's go to Proverbs 13. Woo! Praise God, Proverbs 13. We're going to look at Proverbs 13 and 14 tonight. So actually kind of cool. Read 13 on the 13th of the month. Praise God. Just letting you find it. I'm there. You lost. But praise God. I want to encourage you listeners to please follow along. Whatever I do here at McDonald's, you do where you are. If I sing, you sing. As I pray, you pray. As I study the Bible, you follow along. As I exhort, you take notes. Amen. Amen. Because I believe that when you participate, that's how you're going to get the most out of this. All right, we're going to begin with verse 1. And then put a bookmark in chapter 14, because we're going to go to 14 also. Verse 1. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke. From the fruit of his lips, a man enjoys good things, but the unfaithful have a craving for violence. He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. The sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. The righteous hate what is false, but the wicked bring shame and disgrace. Righteousness guards the man of integrity, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. One man pretends to be rich, yet he has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, yet he has great wealth. A man's riches may ransom his life, but a poor man hears no threat. The light of the righteous shines brightly, but the lamp of the wicked is snuffed out. Pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Dishonest money or dishonest gain dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. He who scorns instructions will pay for it. However, he who respects a command is rewarded. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death. Good understanding wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. Every prudent man acts out of knowledge, but a fool exposes his folly. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a trustworthy envoy brings healing. he who ignores discipline comes to poverty. And shame. But whoever heeds correction is honored. A longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul. But fools detest turning from evil. He who walks with the wise grows wiser. A companion of fools suffers harm. And then it says, misfortune pursues the sinner, but prosperity is the reward of the righteous. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but a sinner's wealth is laid up for the just. A poor man's field may produce abundant food. I'm going to say it this way instead. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but injustice sweeps it away. He who spares the rod hates his son. He who loves him is careful to discipline him. The righteous eat by their hearts, to their heart's content, but the stomach of the wicked goes hungry. The wise woman builds her house, or in chapter 14, a wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. He who whose walk is upright fears the Lord, but he whose ways are envious despises him. A fool's talk brings a rod to his back, but the lips of the wise protect them. Where there are no oxen, the manger is empty, but from the strength of an ox comes an abundant harvest. A truthful witness does not deceive, but a false witness pours out lies. The mocker seeks wisdom, and he doesn't find any. But knowledge comes easily to the discerning. Stay away from a foolish man, for you will not find knowledge on his lips. The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways. But the folly of fools is deception. Fools mock at making amends with sin. Goodwill is found among the upright. Each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can share its joy. The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. There is a way that seems right to a man. In the end, however, it leads to death. Uh-oh. I put the uh-oh in there. Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and joy may end in grief. The faithless will be fully repaid for their ways, and the good man will be rewarded for his. A simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thought to his steps. A wise man fears the Lord, and he shuns evil, but a fool is hot-hearted and reckless. A quick-tempered man does foolish things, and a crafty man is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowded with knowledge. Evil men will bow down in the presence of the good, and the wicked at the gates of righteous. The poor are shunned even by their neighbors, but the rich have many friends. He who despises his neighbor sins, but blessed is he who is kind to the needy. Don't those who plot evil go astray, but those who plan what is good find love and faithfulness. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. The wealth of the wise is their crown, but the folly of fools, it yields folly. A truthful witness saves lives, but a false witness is deceitful. He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death. A large population is a king's glory. Large population is a king's glory. But without subjects, a prince is ruined. A patient man has great understanding. However, a quick-tempered man displays folly. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, capital M. Shows contempt for God. But whoever is kind to the needy honors God. When calamity comes, the wicked are brought down. But even in death, the righteous have a refuge. Wisdom reposes. Wisdom reposes in the heart of the discerning. And even among fools, she lets herself be known. Righteousness exalts a man, but sin is a disgrace to any people. A king delights in a wise servant, but a shameful servant incurs his wealth. I'm going to read like the first 10 verses of 15, after which I'm going to stop it and ignore it a little bit. All right. Here we go. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath. A harsh word stirs up anger. Uh-huh. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge. Oh, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. The eyes of the Lord are only in the movie theater. Oh. The eyes of the Lord are only in the sanctuary at church. Nope. Let me think here. We'll try verse 2 again. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. Verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere. Oh. Everywhere. Can't escape. Nope. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. Hallelujah. I'll do the hallelujah in there, by the way. A tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. But a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. A fool turns his father's, he spurns his father's discipline. But whoever heeds correction shows prudence. The house of the righteous contains great treasure, but the income of the wicked brings them trouble. The lips of the wise spread knowledge. Not so, though, for the hearts of fools. The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked. That, in other words, what God is saying here in verse 8 is that he really despises them. He does not like it a bit. The Lord detests or despises the sacrifice of the wicked. But the prayer of the upright pleases him. Verse 9. The Lord detests the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue righteousness. And finally, verse 10. Stern discipline awaits him who leaves the path. He who hates correction will die. All right. I read to you a lot of stuff. I could preach on this forever and ever and ever and ever. We just covered, listeners, a lot of the major areas of life. Money, healing, discipline, wisdom, sin, why we shouldn't be sinning. Riches. So we covered a lot of things. Now, to clear something up, God is not saying that being rich is bad. No. What if being rich was bad, why would I say that 2020 is going to be a year of plenty? I didn't say we'd all be rich. I said it would be a year of plenty. Plenty can mean like a lot more than what you've had. What he's saying, though, is for those who don't seek the wisdom of God about it, what I've been reading you shows is that there's two kinds of people. There are the people who are wise. There are the people who are foolish. If you're wise, you'll heed your father's instruction. That could be your natural father. That can even be your mother. Or it can be the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you in certain things. And that last verse we just read showed you that he who doesn't heed correction, he who hates correction, he will die. Practical example. We'll just say we're driving around and the GPS told us to take a certain route. So we're doing what the GPS says, going down the route. You see a sign that says, bridge out. Okay, bridge out, detour ahead. Thinking nothing of it, you just continue driving. Very soon, you see another sign, turn now. Failed to turn. Next, big flashing arrows. All right. Bridge out, turn around now. Then you start hearing noises. And they put stuff there to try to keep you. I'm trying to go over the bridge. Then you approach the bridge. And because you didn't pay attention, crash into the water you go. You see, the example that I gave you is very practical. However, it is a great example of what happens to those who do not heed discipline and correction. Whether it be from their parents or from God. Because whom God loves, he corrects, he chastens, he deals with. Am I saying we all love correction? No. It's kind of like that thing that doesn't maybe taste. I mean, it doesn't always seem pleasant, but it's worth it when you get corrected and you choose to follow the direction of the Lord. great to follow the correction of the Lord. The direction of the Lord, I should say. And what everything he has planned for you. Jesus said, the plans I have for you are for your good. Yeah. That's what the plans are that he has for us. It's for our good. We get to choose whether we want to live through him and have his benefits or not. We get to choose. Now, the tongue. It's very important to watch our tongue. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Will actions speak louder than words? Tell that to God. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. What you say with your own mouth will either help you or it will hurt you. That's why it's important that you guard it. You watch what you say with it. You watch what you allow to come out of it. As it can have an impact on your life. And so you got to choose. What am I going to confess? Am I going to confess what I feel? Or am I going to confess the Word of God? Am I going to confess, I feel so sick today, or I'm broke? I'm at this job that's not paying me that much money. I guess I'm stuck with this job, and I'm just going to hope I get paid more. You're going to say that kind of stuff over your life? Or are you going to call blessing over your life and healing over your life? And life and life more abundantly over your life, and peace and joy. And instead of saying I'm depressed, what about saying I'm happy in the Lord? And confessing those things that are not as though they are. And what I read to you, talk briefly about how a soft answer turns away wrath. You know, when you're going around the house and you're screaming, 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 kids, 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 stop it, and what have you? Who are you helping? Nobody. And it's part of why it says a soft answer turns away wrath. And that doesn't mean it'll always make everything instantly go away and suddenly go back to the way it's supposed to be. But, oh, it can help. It really can help. Can't hurt. It really, truly cannot hurt anybody. You know, in Proverbs, the book deals with all areas of life. You know, children, health, finances, correction, wisdom, strife. I mean, why is pride so terrible? There's all different things that are in Proverbs. And Proverbs is if there's such a thing as a foundational book, obviously there is, but other than the gospel, the Proverbs is one of the big foundation books that there are in the Word of God. It's very potent and very powerful. I'm not saying that to discredit any of the other books. I'm just saying the wealth of knowledge that is in it. It's just amazing. And God fixed me up. I used to claim at one point in my life, I used to say, I like everything in the Bible except Proverbs. I used to say, I like all the other books, Psalms, you name it, David and Goliath, everything Jesus taught, and everything else, but I don't like Proverbs. And Proverbs, I discovered something. You gotta follow the whole Bible. It's like you gotta eat the whole lamb, not just the parts you like. Even if it's most of it. Thank God I got that fixed, because there really is a lot of great things in Proverbs, and it's, you could call a teaching book. Psalms is too, because there's a lot of different places in there that say, teach me your way, O Lord. My soul longs for you, and all that. After we're done with Proverbs, I'm going to delve into the book of Psalms. And we're going to go through it together and learn some great things. And there's a lot of great things in it. And we're just going to continue having fun going through the Word of God. And as Psalms and Proverbs are both foundational books of the Bible. As I know Dr. Barclay has stated, and I know many other preachers would agree. Many of the other spirit-filled, water-baptized, born-again preachers would agree that Psalms and Proverbs, the wealth of what's in there is amazing. All the books of the Bibles have great, of the Bible have great things in it. But there are certain ones that I don't know why some have so much more impact than others, but I think some do. Am I saying that I have a favorite book? I don't know. Because like when I was really little, I used to mainly just read the New Testament. And then as I got older, like third grade, and a bit earlier in life in Genesis, and some of the other Bible stories. But there's a lot of great things to learn. You know, there's things to be learned from all the different books in the Bible. Okay. Now, I want to take a minute and I want to take a minute and pray for those who are sick. Or in pain. If you have something in your body that feels off, I want you to just bow your head. Let me rephrase that. What I meant to say was, lift a hand to heaven if you believe in God for a healing. And now I want to tell you guys something. It is the will of God for you to be healed. There are many verses on healing. I read you a couple of them tonight. They talked about how healing is like a tree of life. Other verses I could talk about. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and with his stripes we were healed. All the different miracles that we read about Jesus, that he did. And like I said, lots of verses on miracles, on healing miracles and healing. And I want to take a minute and just pray over you. Lord Jesus, I pray right now over these people who are listening to this show, who are sick in their body, or they know someone who is sick in their body. Whether it be a common cold, influenza, stomach flu, like one of the common bugs that are, it's not your will for us to have any of them, any of these sicknesses or diseases. But whether it's these common things or it's something a lot more serious to us, cancer, diabetes, stroke, heart attack, pneumonia, tumors, any of this stuff. We command all sickness, I command all sickness and disease to leave these bodies in the name of Jesus. Satan, you are hereby powerless. I command healing to flow into these bodies, and I command all pain to go and health flow into these bodies right now. In your name, Jesus. Just thank you. Thank him for your healing. Be like that guy who, the man who went back to Jesus after they were healed with leprosy. Yes, Lord, I thank you for that healing. Thank you for the healing power in my life. Thank you for the healing power in my life. Thank you for the healing power, God. You see, in Luke, all 10 were cleansed, but only one was made completely whole because he went back to Jesus. He went right back to Jesus. And thanked him. As a result, he was completely made well, and the leprosy never returned to him again. It doesn't say what happened with the other 9, but if you get healed, you got to stay healed. So you can't just go back to the sins that you were doing, gossiping, tail-bearing, sinning, cussing, boozing, nicotine. Some of you, the reason maybe why you're sick with a bad disease, maybe it's your mouth. Kept gossiping, tail-bearing against other people. I just thank you for the healing power of God in these people's bodies. In Jesus' name. And I thank you for this time of the Word tonight. I claim that these people learn something so that we can live more like you in our daily life. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Now, in terms of sports, I'll get the negative out of the way first. The bad news is, in the case of basketball, the Pistons, in the case of hockey, the Red Wings, they can't seem to stop their losing habit. The Pistons just lost to the Bulls a couple nights ago, and then the Red Wings at home last night, they fall 5-1. They just can't seem to get it right. Both teams, for whatever reason this year, just struggling hard. I don't know why. But something's got to give in Detroit. Something's got to give. Hopefully soon. Michigan basketball fell to Minnesota. Michigan State totally blown out by Purdue. Both of these were yesterday. I don't know what the deal was. Michigan teams just didn't do well. Maybe the ice got to all of them. Maybe all the players were totally distracted by all the ice. Football teams were on the road, so it couldn't have been that. I don't know. Let's go on to football. So, football in chronological order. I don't know what order came from. Chronological order. Saturday, first. Game one, we had the Vikings at 49ers. Well, not too much to talk about there. 49ers totally dismantled the Vikings, 28-10. And the Vikings, who took out the Saints, basically just kind of went kapooey on Saturday. Snuffed out. Titans at Ravens. Titans win it. 36-12. Under the leadership of Eric Henry, that great running quarterback of theirs, and running back. They're also their great running back. As they have been doing a great job there in Tennessee. 9-7, and then they lead them to two great playoff wins, taking out the heavily favored Patriots, as well as the heavily favored Ravens. Now, the Ravens, we can't say they didn't try. Four different times they got into Titan territory but didn't score, which is pretty remarkable. But Titans kept having short fields and kept scoring. And to be honest with you, I wanted Tennessee to win, so I'm glad they did. I picked Baltimore because I felt like they were more skilled. I felt like they were just a better team. Although, I will say, they had Lamar Jackson, who is a second-year quarterback, and I'm sure they're getting him. I'm sure they're getting him trained and honed, so he can even be an even better quarterback going forward. All right. Now let's move on to yesterday. Yesterday, game one of yesterday. Texans at Chiefs. For a while, it was looking like it's going to be the Watson show with Houston Texans. They got a run up, 24-0, early second quarter. But suddenly something happened. Chiefs started scoring points. The Chiefs started clawing their way back into it. Then they tied the ball game. Then they kept scoring. The Chiefs folks win 51-31 and are the only team ever in the history of the NFL postseason to trail by 20 points or more to start with, only to come back and win by 20 points or more. So they trail by 24, come back and win by 20. And at one point, they were up by 30. 27. But they, congratulations, Chiefs. I'm sure Andrew Wiley has some stuff to do with it. I want to see Andrew Wiley bring a Super Bowl ring to Midland. As he's originally from Midland High. He went to Midland High. And I'd love to see him come and show off that ring. I hope he does. Love to see. So that leads me to last night's game. Seahawks, Pack. At one point, the Pack is up 28-10. The Seagulls just about come back and tie it. But the Seahawks just can't get it going, and they lose by 5 points as Green Bay gets the final first down and is able to run out the clock with 40 seconds left. As they win 36-31. They win 36-31 in a game that was it was a hard-fought game, and it was just an overall great effort by both squads. Congratulations to the Packers on a win. So now it is Green Bay versus 49ers on the nightcap of the NFC of the Championship Sunday, which is this coming Sunday. All right. Also, Beast Mode. Yes, he had part in the game last night, significant parts. It's got to be nice for Seattle to have him back. Although being at home certainly would have helped more, because we know the 12s in Seattle, they are just awesome. I mean, I'm not a big Seahawks fan at all, but they are just tremendous. And so, let's see what happens on Sunday. Now, for tonight, the college football championship game. LSU versus Clemson in New Orleans. So we know the Louisiana Tigers are going to have home field advantage to a large degree. I mean, to a degree. I won't know until I start listening to this game. As I said, we got the LSU Tigers versus the Clemson Tigers. Maybe if we could get the Detroit Tigers to learn how to, maybe the Tigers should just be football players and not baseball. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Well, they're paid to play baseball, so we'll just have to hope that they can play better baseball. Okay. But anywho, as I was saying a minute ago, game is in New Orleans. The Clemson has a chance to do something that nobody's done since back in the 90s. Win two football championships with two completely undefeated seasons. If they win, they do that. Clemson, I mean, LSU, on the other hand, is looking to get their first win, championship win, since 2007. Calendar year 2008, football season 2007. So that the reins may go back to the SEC. So, people are talking about, well, Clemson hasn't won a game, played anybody in the top 25 this year. And they're saying, well, you know, LSU's stronger, faster. Well, we'll have to see about that. That's why they got to play the game tonight. I think the team with the least mistakes and who win the time of possession battle, yardage battle, fewest penalties, fewest turnovers, will be the game that wins. My honest prediction. Lasagna State, 34. Clementine Sun, 27. So 34-27, LSU wins over Clemson. That's my prediction. How did I do with my football predictions, by the way? 3 of 4 correct. I predicted that Green Bay, that Kansas City, and that San Francisco would all win at home. All three did. Baltimore did not win at home. They lost to Tennessee. So, on Sunday, you have Tennessee at Kansas City for the day game. And then for the night game, you have Green Bay at San Fran. Should be two great football games this weekend, and hopefully a great college football playoff game tonight. And until next time, folks, God first, God always. So long, everybody.